And if you could stand to honor God's word. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your words this morning. And I just pray that you would just be with us and just speak to us in a way that we know it's you. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. So today's Palm Sunday, and this is the story of the triumphal entry. And as we go through this, we might need a little bit of backstory to help us get acquainted to where we're at this morning. So Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. The chief priests and Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. Caiaphas, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, spoke up. "It would be better for one man to die for the people than the whole nation perish." So it was at this time that they plotted to take Jesus' life. Jesus decided to no longer move about publicly among the Jews. And I think it's safe to say that it wasn't because he was afraid, but it was because it wasn't time. He withdrew to a village called Ephraim and stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Passover, many Jews started heading towards Jerusalem, as many of them would do every year at this time. Many stood in the temple wondering if Jesus was coming to the feast at all. The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was staying, they should report it so that they could arrest him. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus makes his first move. Jesus arrives at Bethany. The village of Bethany was located 2 miles east of Jerusalem. Bethany is the stage for the introduction of Martha and Mary. Martha is known for getting caught up in serving and preparing, while Mary finds herself at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word. Martha and Mary are also sisters to Lazarus. This is also the place where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So this is a very familiar place for Jesus and his disciples. As Jesus was reclining at the table for a meal prepared to honor him, Mary pours out a pint of expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. Judas Iscariot was not pleased at how she handled such wealth. Jesus was not pleased with Judas's response. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor. You will not always have me." Jesus is referring to what is to come. So if you can imagine, he's sitting here at the table, and the smells of this perfume and kind of the offsetting of things, there's a crowd that starts to gather. And this happened every time that Jesus was in one place for too long. They would gather and gather. They were not just there to see Jesus, but also Lazarus. John 12:11 states, "For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. So because of what Jesus did for Lazarus, they were putting their faith in Jesus. So notice that the chief priests were now the ones plotting. Caiaphas was the high priest at this time, and he was the leader of the Sanhedrin. And one of his jobs was to keep things at rest, to make things calm, make sure they stayed calm. If there was any unrest within the Jewish communities, it would draw attention to them from the Roman Empire. So Caiaphas, he was a very political person, and he got along well with the Romans. He was living a very secure lifestyle. Jesus threatened that security with his miracles. Crowds would gather and thus show signs of unrest among the Jews. Things were not calm. Caiaphas would use his office as a means to power and personal security. The good news behind that is God can use people's evil intentions for good. So all of that sets up where we are this morning, where we find ourselves on this Palm Sunday. So in verse 12, we see, the next day the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now when it says great crowd, I think we underestimate how many people actually could have been there. So in my studies, I came across a statement that a census of the lambs sacrificed at Passover around that time was about 256,000 lambs. So then they calculated how many people would be for each lamb, and they came up with 2.7 million people. That's a lot more than I ever thought. When I see videos and stuff of portraying this scene of Jesus coming in and the waving of palm branches, granted, they're usually a low-budget film. They don't have that many people, right? But there was a lot of people. So I was trying to wrap my whole mind around how many people that is, and that's the population of Chicago. That's a lot of people. I couldn't even do Idaho because Idaho only has like 1.7 million. So even if not all of them were present at this time, there's still a lot of people, right? A lot. A lot more than we ever could have imagined. So this great crowd took palm branches and went out to meet Jesus, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Verse 14 states, "Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it as it is written." Luke 19, 30 through 31 tells it a little bit different. Jesus tells two of his disciples to go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell him the Lord needs it. In verse 15, it's quoting Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The significance of this is truly amazing. For us, the donkey is kind of a despised animal, one that we use as like a workhorse to like carry things. When I think of a donkey, I think of donkey basketball. Has anybody ever done that before? When I was growing up, my parents did that a couple times, and I was like, that is interesting. But when I think of a donkey, I think of that. But in the Middle East, a donkey is considered a noble animal. To ride into town on a donkey would show them these things. It would not only just fulfill prophecy, but it was to show that Jesus was the Messiah. Not just for a few individuals, but to the great crowd. If Jesus were to ride in on a horse, he would have been looked at as wanting to go to war. So riding in on a donkey showed he was a king coming in peace. Jesus was drawing a dramatic picture of what he claimed to be. So in verse 16, I think this is where we resonate with the story the most. It says, at first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done things to him. His disciples did not understand. And that's kind of where I want us to be this morning a little bit, is we know way more than his disciples did about all of the different things that had to happen and all of the different things that did happen. And we know the story and how it ends. But I don't want to take that for granted. I want to be a part of the great crowd that is ushering in Jesus, our Savior. So in Matthew 16:21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So the disciples heard that for the first time. Matthew 17:22 and 23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. They heard that a second time. And in Matthew 20:17 and 18, now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life." That was a third time that they heard that. Jesus' disciples did not understand. I try to think of what the disciples felt like as they were walking along with him, beside him on this donkey, and being a part of the crowd that were shouting these things. Were they truly understanding what was happening when he was entering Jerusalem? Or in the back of their minds, were they thinking, this is going to be where we defeat Rome? So this was recorded also in the books of Mark and Luke. It's also recorded that the disciples heard this three times, and I'd have to think that they heard it a few more than that. Jesus' disciples did not understand. They didn't understand because they were too busy thinking of things like, who's the greatest? Who will get to sit at your right hand? They were filled with grief and refused to understand. Maybe they were thinking, if I pretend I didn't hear it, it might not happen. In verse 17 and 18, there's another amazing picture unfolding before their eyes. There's a group coming from Bethany with Jesus. So there's that group that had gathered there to see Jesus and Lazarus. And then there's another group that's coming from Jerusalem that has heard about what happened in Bethany. And they're coming together. That's a lot of people coming together. They all wanted to see Jesus and that he was the Messiah. So this would be a good time to explain why these people were so excited to see Jesus. Because earlier, we shared about the dramatic picture that Jesus was showing them. They'd let their dreams get in the way of their reality. The great crowd of people, including the disciples, were ready to be done with Rome. The Messiah that was going to change everything dealing with Rome, they were looking for a Savior to save them from their oppression. Their minds were clouded with earthly things. They were looking at their circumstances. In verse 19, we see the Pharisees looking at the huge roadblock to their plans to kill Jesus. These Pharisees were also thinking of themselves. Their personal agenda was to stop Jesus so that they could live comfortably. They were worried about what Rome would do to them when they found out about this huge uprising. You got to think, their minds were not going, wow, this is a lot of people and they're all doing this. They're like, when Rome finds out about this, we're going to be done for. So the Pharisees missed it as well. They were focused, if they were focused on the scriptures from long ago, the ones that they knew by heart, the ones that they would read every day, they would have known what the prophets were referring to when talking about the Messiah that was to come. Their minds were clouded by earthly things. They were looking at their own circumstances. How many times do we look at our own circumstances when we should have our eyes focused on Jesus? And I think it's more about just being focused on Jesus. We have to be intently listening on what he's saying to us. What is the great crowd doing in our day? The next day, the crowd that had come from the feast, for the feast, took palm branches, shouted praises to their king. Now granted, some of them were not even aware of all that what was happening or what was going on. They had heard that this man riding on a donkey had raised someone from the dead. They wanted to catch a glimpse of him. But what does our next day look like? Do we see Jesus for who he says he is? Do we follow the crowd and just hope that the crowd's going the right direction? Is the great crowd following Jesus for who he says he is? Or are we just in it for the sensation of seeing someone who performs miracles? So as we move into a week of remembering what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago, by showing up in Jerusalem in a bold way instead of sneaking in, predicts his death again, washes his disciples' feet, comforts or confronts his betrayer, lets Peter know about the denial. He comforts his disciples, promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus prays for us. Jesus is arrested, questioned, put on trial, and crucified. We need to be mindful what was written so long ago. We can learn so much from just these few verses. Jesus needed to come to Jerusalem at the precise time that he did. Jesus needed to enter Jerusalem on a donkey at that precise time. God knew the hearts of the great crowd would turn. God knew that the religious rulers' hearts were hard. And so I encourage you to look at the next day in a different way this year. God loves us so much. He loves each and every one of us so much that he died on a cross for each and every one of our sins. And we cannot take that for granted. We can't just be like, yep, this is that time of year where we get all this. It's what we do. We have to be excited. The kids program, amazing, points to exactly the faith that we should have. Jesus was chosen to be the sacrificial lamb on the next day. We have to live every day knowing that he is our Savior. So before we close the service, I just wanted to leave you with this thought. Are you going to Jesus? Are you going to let Jesus be the ruler of your heart today? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you so much for this kids' programs. I thank you so much for this candle that represents a new life in you. I thank you so much for every person that is in this room, that you love them so much. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every person as they leave from this place and as they go through this next week, that it wouldn't just be another week, or it wouldn't even just be another Easter week, but it would just be an amazing, life-changing experience as they look towards you as their Savior, as the ruler of their hearts. And we thank you for that. Lord, we just love you so much, and we praise your name today. Amen. And you guys are dismissed. We are having service tonight as normal. Pastor Weldon will be giving the message tonight.